Okay, this is the last of our series on Hallel, and it's time to be completed in time for Hallel, which everybody will agree is Hallel, which is Mitzvah Rabbanan. The Ramban will claim it's actually Hallel Doraita, which we're going to be singing on this Friday morning on Shavuot. And of course, many of us said Hallel a week ago, last Friday, b'fe mele, with total gratitude and happiness. And so we got most of the way through Hallel in time for Yom Yerushalayim, but now we'll complete it in time for Shavuot. This last perek, which is the longest perek of any of the prakim in this section, is a little bit confusing because it seems to shift back and forth between not only modes, but also persons. In other words, some of it seems to be public and seems to be speaking for a group, on behalf of a group. Some of it seems to be individual. Now, we've seen both of those modes in the earlier Prakim. So, for instance, the first parak was clearly public, so as was the second, Tzeit Yisrael. The third also seemed to be public, but the fourth, which is Ahavti and Ma'ashiv, is all in the singular. It seems to be about one person's individual experience that they're relating and using as a teaching moment for everybody around them. The very short parak that we did last week is also clearly public. And this one starts that way, but then it shifts. So the only way to really decipher what's going on in this parak is for us to go through pasuk by pasuk. And we're going to do the same four things that we do anytime we study Tehillim. The first thing we got to do is to understand what the words mean. And the second thing that we have to do is to understand what the structure of the perek is, because as poetry, it's structured into stanzas, and understand how the components of each stanza hang together and is distinct from other stanzas, and then how those stanzas relate to each other. And the third thing that we got to do is try to figure out what's the message of the perek. And the fourth, which is that we have to do every time that we are engaging in the study of a parak of Tehillim that's used in liturgy, is to understand why it is in this particular piece of liturgy or at that particular occasion when it's recited. Now, as we've been doing in Hallel, that becomes a twofold issue. One is, what is its role within the context of Hallel? And then the larger question is, why is Hallel, including that particular parak, said on the occasions that it said. So going back to the very beginning of the series, when is Hallel essentially said? So based on the Gemara in Arachin, which is the fullest treatment of it on Daf Yod, Hallel is said on one of two types of occasions, and then I'll add in a third. The first type of occasion that's said is beregel, meaning it's part of what the regel experience is, and that is the first treatment of the Gemara there, which says why, which asks the question why Hallel is said on every day of Sukkot and not said on every day of Pesach. It's only said on the first day of Pesach, and the Gemara then answers because every day of Sukkot has a unique korban, whereas Pesach has the same korban every day. The Gemara then asks, if that's the case, then it should be said on Shabbat, because Shabbat is a different korban than the day before. Then, oh no, Shabbat is not called a moed in a sense, although it's really included in Moed Hashem. So okay, then Rosh Chodesh should be included. So Rosh Chodesh doesn't have an Issur Melacha, and so it goes through all of these definitions that are there to explain an already pre-existing list, which is we say Hallel on the first day of Pesach, we say Hallel on the day of Shavuot, we say Hallel on all 8 days of Sukkot. But then the Gemara has a problem that all of the definitions that worked for those days should also work for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it come and the response is a little bit jarring, because after going through a very technical definitional narrowing and tapering of the days in which we say Hallel, because that day doesn't include this component of a different korban than the day before, and this day doesn't have an Issur Melacha, this day is not called a moed. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we go into the realm of Agadah, where the Malachim come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, how come Bnei Israel aren't saying Shiran, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer is, Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Meitim Ptuchim l'fnei Avir, Shira. They have their life on the line. Right? How can they say Shirah? That's not doesn't fit the mood. So suddenly it's about the mood of the day. But all of that said and done leaves us with one big problem, which is the 8 days of Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah doesn't have any of those things. And the answer the Gemara gives is because of the Nes, which means that there now are two different motivators for saying Hallel. One of them is a regel, and the other is on the occasion of commemorating a Nes. That leads, of course, to the famous question why we don't say Hallel on Purim, which I'm not going to go into now. However, that duality fits the model in the end of Arvei Pesachim when the Gemara asks, we looked at the source in the first session, which is, I think, about 8 weeks ago we did it, which was who composed Hallel? And after all the different proposals were made that it was Bnei Yisrael at Yam Suf, it was Yoshua, it was Voran Barak, it was Chizkiyahu, it was Hanani Mishael Azari, it was Mordechai and Esther. Finally, the last opinion is Nevi'im Shebeinehem. And Bnei'im, it's unclear, Bnei'im, the Nevi'im among which members of Bnei Yisrael established Hallel that they should say it, Al Kol Perek Uperek, the Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara Shelo Tavo Aleihem. They established Hallel that should be said at regular junctures. It's like every Perek is like the Regalim, meaning every few months, you're going to say Hallel. And then Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara Shelo Tavo Aleihem. For every trouble that happens, Shenigalim Imena, then Yomulatan Agulatan. When they are redeemed from that trouble, then they'll say this Hallel for their redemption. So, in other words, it's like a way to have something in your back pocket that when you're under threat and then you're saved from that threat, and presumably when you're under the threat, you're praying in a different mode. And when you're saved from that threat by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's something that's ready to go that you can use to thank God for that redemption. However, that's kind of Hanukkah and kind of not Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is not a time of redemption. It's an anniversary of redemption. And so, like I said, there's two modes, but one of them has two components to it. One mode is Perek, and that's every time the regel, and the Ramban maintains that that Hallel is the Oraita, as part of the Kiyum of Simchat HaRegel, Simchat HaChag. And then there's Nes, and Nes is both on the occasion when the Nes actually happens, and that's the famous passage in the She'iltot on Parshat Vayishlach. And then there is the anniversary of the Nes, which then is Hanukkah, and then many of us have appropriated that also for Yom HaTzimut, Yom HaShalayim, anniversary of the Nes. Okay, so that's the when Hallel is said. And so then again, when we come back to our parak, which is the finale of Hallel, we have to see how it fits within the contours of those two types of occasions. As I said before, all of Pirkei Tehillim are primarily not necessarily composed as a result of, but composed with the aim of, and are canonized certainly with the aim of being sung in the Mikdash by the Levi'im, performed, etc., often antiphonally, call and response, or by two groups of Levi'im having different parts. So we're going to see all of that here. Let's go through the parak. The first thing to do is translate it. Now, this time, because of the layout of the parak, I have the translation right there on the screen, facing the Hebrew, facing the English, facing the Hebrew, but I'm not going to even look in that direction because I hopefully will do a little better than whatever's written there. Now, Hodula Adonai Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo. I just have to share a pet peeve, is that there are many words, including words that are commonly said in Tefillah B'Tzibur, that are commonly mispronounced. And the mispronunciation is sometimes a little bit funny, but certainly the mispronunciation is also a misrepresentation of what's being said. So, for instance, here, people will often say this first word as Hodu. You know, Hodu is the name of a country, and Hodu for us is also the name of a kind of a bird, Tarnigol Hodu. But the word here is Hodu, and it makes a world of difference, because Hodu is a command, right? Hodu Lashem Kito. You are to give thanks to Hashem that he is good. Ki Leolam Chasdo. Now, question is, how is this supposed to be recited, and who's saying it? So it's clear that there's somebody or a group that's saying this to another group, because they're speaking in the plural. And we'll see who that group is or who those groups are. And so we'll now call it the Levim choir, or the Levi leader, turns to the group. We have to see where this group is. and says, give thanks to Hashem that he is good, ki le'olam chasdo. Now, what's the group supposed to do at that point? And you have several options. One option is do nothing. Another option is say amen. The third option is to say the last word or last couple of words, ki le'olam chasdo, or the first couple of words. We have several of these opinions, by the way, in the sugya in Masachet Sotah, in discussing how Bnei Israel operated in responding to Moshe at Shirat Hayam. The other possibility is to just use this as a cueing and repeat the words. Hodula Adonai Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo, and everybody repeats, Hodula Adonai Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo, which, by the way, would be a fulfillment of the statement. You give thanks to God. What's the best way to give thanks to God? By repeating what you just said. But do you think about how awkward that is? I'm telling you, you give thanks to God, and then your response is, you give thanks to God. It's a little bit strange. And now that piece continues, Yomar na Yisrael kelom chasdo, Yomar na Beit Aron kelom chasdo, and Yomar na Yirei Adonai kelom chasdo. And by the way, we've seen all three of these groups twice already in the Pirkei Hallel, one of them in Perak Kuf Tetvav, in Kuf Tetvav, in the middle, just before the end of the Lolanu section, the part that we skip from time to time, which is Yisrael b'tach b'Hashem, Beit Aron b'tchu b'Hashem, Yirei Hashem b'tchu b'Hashem. And then, in the very next, in the beginning of the next section, in Kuf Tet Vav, which we all say every time is, Yivarech Beit Yisrael, Yivarech Beit Aron, Yivarech Beit Hashem, Hatanim Magdolim. So these three groups have already been identified as being present and represented and significant in this gathering that's happening, which Hallel is part of or the central piece of. And so now, the leader seems to be turning to each group and saying, the Levim seem to be turning to Yisrael, which is all of the assemblage that's there, that's not the other two groups, or it's everybody. And they're saying, Yomar na Yisrael ki le'olam chasdo. Now, we'll go through the other, two other groups and ask how this call and response is supposed to happen. Now, Yomru na Beit Aharon, the Levim clearly are turning to their brethren, the Kohanim. And then Yeruna Yireh Adonai, we've talked about Yireh Hashem already earlier in Kuf Tetvav, whether Yireh Hashem means it is non-Jews who are devotees of Hashem, Chasidei Umot HaOlam kind of people, or whether it refers to Gerim, who are not Beit Yisrael and not Beit Aharon. Maybe Yireh Hashem is the group for them. Typically, one of those two approaches is taken by the commentators. And so the idea is they should say Kidd Olam Chasdo. Now, what is it that they're expected to say? And again, we have several options. So I'm part of Yisrael. Yomar na Yisrael Kidd Olam Chasdo. So possibility one is Yomar na Yisrael, that the Levim are turning to me and saying Yomar na Yisrael, and I'm supposed to say Kidd Olam Chasdo. In other words, Yomar na Yisrael is all he says. And then I say Kidd Olam Chasdo. And then the Kohanim, et cetera. The other possibility is that he's going to say Yomar na Yisrael Kidd Olam Chasdo, meaning Yisrael should acknowledge that his chesed is forever, in which case, again, I'm going to say Kidd Olam Chasdo. Or maybe I'm going to say Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Kidd Olam Chasdo. Or I'm going to repeat what he said. Now, you have to admit that repeating what he said is a little bit strange, because he's turning to me and saying Yomar Na Yisrael Kidd Olam Chasdo, and now I'm saying Yomar Na Yisrael Kidd Olam Chasdo. Unless we interpret Yomar Na Yisrael two different ways. The first time it's Yomar na Yisrael, he's adjuring, encouraging. Yisrael should say. And now Yomar na Yisrael, the second time, is an affirmation. Yisrael indeed says, which would then take the ambiguity of the word Yomar and utilize it in both directions. It's a very nice idea. Against that, you could argue that Yomar na Yisrael ki olam chasdo really is a cue for us to say the opening line. In other words, the ki le'olam chasdo in Pasuk Bet, Gimel and Dalet, are short versions of the full Pasuk. The full Pasuk is, Hodul Adonai ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. And then, Amayna Yisrael, and then, to keep the meter, they don't put the whole thing in there, but ki le'olam chasdo, and we're supposed to respond with that. Now, we end up doing something of a mix, because the common practice is, in many places, is to say Yomar Na Yisrael with or in advance of the Shliach Tzibur, and then to answer with Hodu. However, the Achronim who suggest that do it only because they think it might be hard for us to hear all the words over Yomar Yisrael, and we don't want to miss that, if that's indeed what the point is. However, the broad practice is that the Shliach Tzibur says, and Shliach Tzibur here is playing the role of the Levi, Yomar na Yisrael ki l'olam chasdo, and then we answer with what he's telling us to do, which is, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki l'olam chasdo, all the way through. And this is clearly, these four psukim clearly sit separately from what follows and are a stanza by themselves, and they are introductory to the whole parak because they are invoking that everybody should give thanks to God in advance of what we're going to detail now. It's almost like we've started a second Hallel here. Now, let's look at the next psukim. Now, notice, Minha Meitzar Karatia Banani Vamerchavya. Now, we've suddenly switched to an individual person talking, and it's something of a stark switch, because from the very powerful and communal and every different group and all thanking God for something great, suddenly an individual speaks and says, I called out to Hashem min ha-meitzar. Now, meitzar means from a very narrow place, or from a matzor, meaning from a time in which I was closed in and unable to get out. And anani v'merchavya, God answered me v'merchav. Merchav meaning the expanded place. Now, the narrow and expanded can be physical, can be political, can be emotional, can be existential. But one way or the other, the person is here is telling us, I was in a bad place, and I called out to Hashem, and Hashem answered me in the wide place. Now, it doesn't mean he answered me and brought me to the wide place. That's not what it says. The implication is his answer to me was to bring me to the wide place. In other words, I called out to him when I was in trouble, and his response was to save me from the trouble. But beautifully, it's presented as a call and response to God. I called out to God, and he gave his answer. I called out in tefillah, and his answer was Yeshua, or salvation. Now notice, this is clearly an individual speaking as an individual. Not only is it in the first person singular, but the experience that's being described is one of an individual. And he says, Adonai li lo ira. I mean, God is with me, and therefore I have no fear. Now, the question is that what he experienced at the beginning? I was in trouble, but I had no fear because God is with me. Or is he saying, now that God saved me, I now know that God's always with me and I have nothing to fear. And what is it I don't fear? Ma ya'aseh li adam. Meaning, nobody can do anything to me because God is with me, and God is more powerful than all people. And therefore, I'm not afraid of anything that anybody's going to do to me. And again, the question is this reflecting backwards and saying, I called out to God when I was in trouble because I knew I had nothing to be afraid of, or I learned this lesson as a result of God's salvation? You can have it either way. And then he makes the comment, Adonai li be'ozrai, which is a little unusual, because God is with me among my helpers, as opposed to saying, Ezri me'im Adonai, as we say elsewhere in Tehillim. But God is with me among my helpers. That makes it sound as if I got lots of, you know, soldiers and friends and whoever helping me, and God's there with them. But in a sense, that's really how we experience it, because our mode of interacting with trouble is always to work on two parallel and simultaneous planes. One of them is the hospital, and the other is the perictillum. We don't cast either one away. We don't just open up a tillum and daven when somebody's sick. We take them to the doctor. On the other hand, we also don't hand them to the doctor and then go golfing. We sit in the waiting room and say tillum. And we pray. We say refayenu. And so Hashem liba ba'ozrai, Hashem is with me among my helpers, really reflects that sentiment. And then va'ani erebisonai, I will see my enemies. Now, important to note, in the Tanakh idiom, to look at your enemies, which actually means to look down at your enemies, means to be victorious. And the opposite of that is for my enemies to look at me means I've lost, right? And such as we have at the beginning of Mizmor Shir Chanukah to Beit David, right? V'lo simachta oyvalei, you didn't allow my enemies to rejoice over me, to look down at me in the pit. In the same way now, I will see my enemies in Chavzayin, in Makashtu Nafalu, right? I look down at them. And then he reflects the sentiment, which looks as if Chet and Tet are really together. Now, parenthetically, if you look at Vav and Zion, you see that they both start with the phrase Hashem Li. Right? And that is something we call anaphora, which is a poetic device where you start two subsequent lines with the same word or phrase, and it creates a sort of rhythm to it. Adonai Li Lo Iram Maya Ser Li Adam Adonai Li Be'ozrai Vani Rev V'Sonai. And then he makes the following comment: Tov Lachasot Ba'Adonai Mid Betoach Ba'Adam. Now that mem is what we call comparative mem, not locative mem that from, but rather more than. So it's better to take trust in Hashem than to trust in man. And again, you hear the same thing of Be'ozrai. You don't hear him saying trusting in man is a waste of time. Don't trust anybody. It's not al tiftachu bin divim, as we have in Kuf Mem Vav. It's saying we trust in man, but better to trust in God, just like God is Be'ozrai. So as somebody who is working with people, who is relying on people, they're part of the fabric of his existence and the fabric of his strategy of how to get over troubles, but the main trust should be placed in God. Now, it looks like that phrase ties together and is almost repeated in Tov lachasot ba'adonai mibitoach b'din divim. Better to trust in God than to trust in princes. It's almost the same thing. You just substitute the divim for Adam. But you'll notice that in Pasuk Tet, we've actually shifted mode. Because Pasuk Hei through Chet are about an individual who has gone through trouble, God is with him and God has saved him, and his reflection is better to rely and to take refuge in God than in man. And now that lesson seems to shift to the public and to the national playing field, the national stage. Tov lachasot ba'adonai mitoach b'din divim, because these next psukim can't be about the individual. Kol goyim sivavuni, all the nations surround me. B'shem Adonai kamilam. Now the structure of this phrase is a little bit difficult, but all the nations surround me can't be about an individual person. And therefore, it's the individual speaking. I mean, it's the nation or the city speaking, typically the nation speaking in the singular voice, and sort of borrowing from the previous phrase. But now, for all the nations to surround me, is not one person. So it's a city or a tribe or the whole nation. They've all surrounded me. Now, am milam means I'm going to cut them off. Same word as milam. I'm going to cut them off. But b'shem Adonai k'amilam, indeed, my trust is in Hashem, and it's b'shem Hashem, I know that I'm going to be successful in beating them in spite of the fact that they surround me. We can't say kol goyim savunim b'shem Hashem. That makes no sense. They aren't surrounding me in the name of Hashem. I'm going to fight back and be saved b'shem Hashem. And then we add to it, sabuni gam sevavuni. Sabuni is just another form of sevavuni. They indeed surrounded me, and again, b'shem Adonai k'amilam. He's totally comfortable with that. And then he gives some descriptions. Sabuni chidvorim do'achu ke'esh kotzim. So now, they surround me like bees. In other words, they're all over the place and they're attacking me. And yet, do'achu ke'esh kotzim. They get burnt up like thorn fire. You know, like whenever you burn a little bit of kindling or something like that, it goes out right away. That's all they got. Shem Adonai Kamilam. So in other words, now he's reflecting on taking that same faith that he experienced from his personal travail from which he was saved, and then appropriating it to the national field, saying the nations surround me, I'm not concerned. They attack me like bees, they're going to go out like a little fire. That's it. And then it seems that, again, there's a shift. Dacho dechitani limpol. And part of that is because, in a sense, he's talking to the nations. And Dachot Dechitan Limpol takes us back to Kuf Tet Zayin. But here he's saying, you have tried to push me down to fall, V'Adonai Azarani. And again, Be'ozrai, God is the one who helped me up. It's like he's speaking to the nation who attempted to destroy him. Oziv Zimratya. Now you're familiar with that pasuk, of course, from Shira Peyam, but also you're familiar with it from Yeshayahu Yod Bet, which for Oziv Zimratya, Adonai Vahili Yeshua, Shaptimai Misason, those psukim. Zimrat here clearly means something about strength, because the three times that it shows up in Tanakh, which I just mentioned, those are the two in here, all have the word oz next to them. Hashem is my strength. Vahili Yeshua. That's where my Yeshua comes from, which means there's been some sort of a development in the last few psukim from Hashem li be'ozrai to Vahili Yeshua. Hashem is among those who help me to he's the salvation. And then kol rinav Yeshua bo'olei tzadikim. Now rinav Yeshua seems to be another example of a hendaitis. We talked about that in the beginning of Kuf Tet Vav, of two nouns in which really the first of those nouns should be seen as an adjective, right? Which means kol rinata Yeshua, the voice of singing for his Yeshua, bo'olei tzadikim, is in the ohalim of the in the tents of in this place in this. Case tzaddikim should be read really as it is throughout Tanakh as the innocent, because Yamin Adonai Osachayim, God's right hand is acting valorously, and then he continues, and this is an epistrophe where he uses the same line at the same phrase at the end of the next pasuk. Yamin Adonai Romeima, Yamin Adonai Osachayim. God's hand is raised and God's hand is acting valorously. And what's all this about? So if we look back, we see that up until Pasuk Yod Bet, it was about the nation surrounding me, and I'm confident that I'm going to be saved, and then it becomes more active. You have tried to push me down, and Hashem helped me. Hashem is my strength. And I remember, we first encountered Shirat Hayam. And then we hear the sound of rejoicing in the tents of those who have been saved. And what are they saying? They're saying, Hashem's hand is lifted. Hashem's hand is high. Hashem's hand is acting valorously. So I'm going to suggest that this is a poetic retake on the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach in Mitzrayim. Kol rina v'yeshua or rinata yeshua bo'olei tzadikim. Meaning all the Jews sitting in their homes eating Korban Pesach are singing. And when they find out what's happened in the neighboring homes, they say, what is their song? Yamin Adonai Osachayim. Yamin Adonai Yomayma, Yamin Adonai Osachayim. God's right hand, right? God's, I'm going to take you out, Bial Chazakah. So this is God's right hand, God's hand coming and killing the firstborn and affecting our Yeshua. This is not the first time that Yitziat Mitzrayim is invoked and alluded to in Hallel. It starts, of course, with the Beit Yisrael Mitzrayim, which is very, very overt. We also saw it at the end of Kuf Tet Vav with Luham Etim Yahaluyah and the polemic against the cult of the dead of Egypt. We saw it in Kuf Tet Zayin, where the plays on words kept coming back to Mitzarei Sha'ol, a lot of references to Mitzrayim, allusions to Mitzrayim. And here they again seems to be coming back to Mitzrayim, and it's no wonder. That's what we call this Hallel, Hallel Mitzrayim. And the focal point of this Hallel, the most powerful experience of this Hallel, is at the Seder, and is Rishchitat Korban Pesach. And so now there's yet a shift, because up until now there's been a description of something happening, and now whoever's singing is making a pledge, and it seems to be coming back to the individual. Lo amut ki echia. Ki here means, of course, rather. I'm not going to die, rather I'm going to live. Vasaper ma'aseya. And I am going to tell the story of Hashem's deed. Now, question is, how does that work? Is this he's averring, I'm not done, I'm still going to, or is he saying, because of the fact that I was attacked and I was threatened and saved, therefore I'm going to tell the story of Hashem. And that second, which seems to be less likely, that second interpretation is strengthened by the next pasuk, which is Yasor Yisrania. God has afflicted me, but v'lamavet onatanani, which means he seems to be praising and thanking God for the fact that he was under threat, and that he was near death's door and was saved, because that gave him the ability to appreciate a whole lot of things, including life and salvation and the tenuousness of existence and how wonderful it is to be breathing. And so he seems to get very excited, so excited that it's like he can't wait to come into the Beit Hashem and thank him. And watch what he says, Pitchu li sha'arei tzedek. It's like you can imagine the guy before dawn standing outside of the Mikdash waiting for the doors to open. Avovam odeya. I want to come into the Mikdash, and there I want to thank Hashem. And he points and says, Zeh hashar l'Adonai sadikim yavovam. And you can imagine perhaps these are Levim responding and saying, when he says, I want to come in, Zeh hashar l'Hashem sadikim, come on in. And now we get to the point of this entire exercise, which is, of course, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving happens here. By the way, you notice that everything up until here has been, I want to give thanks. Here's how I want to give thanks. Hashem did this for me. I want to give thanks. Fine, now give thanks. Enough talking about it. Let's do it. And you'll notice that starting in Pasuk Chaf Aleph all the way to the end of Hallel, we repeat the Tefillin. Repeat each Pasuk. So we say this is really the culmination. And repetition may mean that originally it was a call and response. Odecha ki anitani. Now, it's a strange phrase. I thank you because, now what's anitani mean? It really seems to mean from the vocalization, it means you have afflicted me. Meaning, I'm thanking you because you afflicted me, you taught me that lesson, vati li lishua, and you saved me. And then, evan masu abonim. Now, this now seems to be shifting to the national, and that means we have to reflect back and see the previous psukim all as being, even though in the singular, as being on the national plane. Evan masu abonim, the rock that was rejected by the builders, haita l'rosh pina. That became the cornerstone. And most of the Rishonim take the position, this is talking about Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael that was rejected by everybody else, it was an afterthought, it was a dying nation, it was a disappearing nation. You could read in almost every generation, people writing us off. It became the cornerstone. It became suddenly the center of everything. And this is Me'eta Adonai Haitazot. This is only from God. Now notice how we've developed. From God is with me among my friends, among my helpers, God is the one who helps me. And then this is only from God. Nothing like this could happen any other way. And it's sort of like the way people were talking about 67. In June 67, people turned and said, this can't have happened except from God. Only from God. And then Hini Flat Be'inenu is the explanation, meaning this is so wondrous in our eyes, it can only be from God. The fact that Evan Masua Beni, my Tal Rosh Pina, the one that was rejected, has become the center. This is divine, divine acts. And therefore, Zehayom Asa Adonai Nagid Nismachavo, and this has a delicious, delicious, and I think deliberate ambiguity. This is the day that Hashem has done, meaning Hayom Hazeh. Right, we're saying it as if we're replicating the day of the salvation and the day where Am Yisrael takes center stage in history. Nagid Nismachavo, we will rejoice and be happy. Bo, who's Bo? Bo Bayom and Bo Bashem. And again, it's deliberate ambiguity. We will rejoice on this day, and we rejoice in Hashem. And now something absolutely staggering happens. And I think we're all sensitive to it, but we're so involved in singing, or else looking at our watch and running out of shul, that we're, depending on what day it is, that we're not, don't pay attention to how weird this is. We're at the apex of celebration, of thanksgiving to God, and then suddenly we turn around and say, Ana Adonai Hoshiana. And we even break this pasuk in half. And repeat it, and then Anna Adonai Hatzlichana. Now Anna means please, and Na means now. It's like urgent. Please, Hashem, save us now. Why are we marring our celebration with these words of desperation? The answer is that's exactly what this whole thing is teaching, is that Hashem bringing us to a precipice, to a difficult situation, to a threat, is actually a great salvation in and of itself, because it helps us put everything in a perspective and appreciate the most important things. And then the salvation comes and we can appreciate it. So exactly at this moment, we turn and say, Hashem, save us now. We recognize that there's always threats looming. Save us now. And then Hatzlichana, speedily and quickly, bring us to a better position. And then we get to these last four psukim, which seem or act very clearly as a closure to the whole piece. As the Levim are turning to the group that has come up to the Mikdash and are leaving. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. That's how they greet them. Beirachnucha mi Beit Adonai. We are blessing you, mi Beit Hashem. We're the ones who in Beit Hashem. We're blessing you from here. El, now this pasuk, nobody can figure out. I'll propose something, but El Adonai v'yayir lanu. Hashem is the powerful one. And he brings light to us, he enlightens us. That part's easy. Isruchag ba'avotim on kontam izbeach. Literally, tie the korban with chains all the way to the horns of the izbeach. Now, not only is such a practice not attested to, such a practice is basically asur. There's no way that you could tie something in the kontam izbeach, by the way, are very high. And it's a very strange phrase. Does it mean that they would tie an animal down so that they could chest it properly. Doesn't mean that they actually had cords that were there to keep the crowds away from violating the Ezrat Kohanim. Unclear. But the way some would read it is, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai b'rach l'chem b'beit Adonai el Adonai v'yar elanim. But that's the end of the sentiment. And then perhaps they're then turning and saying, Yisur asur l'chag b'obotim, put a boundary up. In any case, Eliyah tavi odeka l'hoi ha'mecha does seem to be the people's response. You're telling us, you're blessing us in the name of Hashem. We're responding that on a personal level, each one of us has had this experience. You are my God, I thank you, which is how the whole thing started, Hodu. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And then Hodu l'Adonai ki tov k'lam chasto is very likely a call and response, and that's how it ends. Now, to go properly more into this parak, we need another hour. But hopefully we've sketched out some of the basics and talked about the meaning of the words and the context. Now, if you look at this page, I believe that the structure of the parak actually speaks for itself, and it works into a group of quatrains of four psukim stories. The first four psukim, very obviously a piece by themselves, the introduction. Then you have Min HaMetzar, which is four psukim, about the individual experiencing his trouble and his salvation. And then the shift to taking that message to the national scene, Tov Lachsot Hashem. And then in the middle, there is a description, seemingly, of taking us back to Yitzhak Mitzrayim and to the events of Mitzrayim, and highlighting this as an example of the nations against me and Hashem coming to save me. And that leads to a commitment. The commitment here is I, the individual, each individual is going to say, I'm going to continue to praise Hashem, and I want to come into the Mikdash to do it. And then finally, over here, the person, they come in, and they actually do give thanks. And that's where we start repeating Psukim. And the highlight of the thanks, the coda, that crescendo of the thanks, is to turn to God and say, God, we need your help. We're in trouble. Because there's an existential reality of being in trouble. It's not anything that's political or looming. It's just the very our existence always calls out for need. And then there's the farewell blessing that we have here, Rebbe Levim, greet everybody properly, meaning greet them to prepare them to leave and send them all God's blessings. And the people then respond, now notice, this pasuk begins and ends the parak, but they function very differently. At the beginning of the parak, this line is invoked by the Levim to get everyone to start the Thanksgiving process. And then we have this whole beautiful structural series that takes us to the culmination, Anasha Moshiana, Anasha Matlichana. At the end here, as the Levim are saying goodbye, then the people are reflecting back and saying, this is indeed the phrase that typifies what our visit here to the Mikdash is about, and what it is that we're trying, that we accomplished, which was to give thanks to Hashem and to recognize that his chesed endures forever and that we are, Baruch Hashem, the beneficiaries of his chesed. And we should all have a wonderful Yontif and really be able to enjoy with full simcha the experience of Hallel and Emir Tzashem to always be Noshaim, a nation that is Am Nosha, but Am Nosha Ba'adonai, and to recognize that our salvation always comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.